life bookers around the world, and welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jordan River, and you're listening to the Life Note, Love Factually, by Duana C. Welch, PhD, and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. Finding love takes persistence and courage. Core concept. Love Factually, 10 Proven Steps from I Wish to I Do, refreshingly offers relationship advice based on facts rather than fluff. If you need some extra help solving the puzzle of how to go from single to married bliss, this book could be exactly what you need. Author Duana Welch has expertise using social science to help solve relationship issues. She's the creator of the advice blog Love Science and has taught psychology in Texas-based universities. You'll enjoy her easygoing writing style, sprinkled with real-world case studies from her own practice and from readers of her relationship blog. In this Life Note, we'll review some favorite big thoughts, starting with an overview of the 10 steps to I Do. We'll look at a harmful relationship myth, and we'll discuss creating a list of what you're seeking in a mate, tips on where to find them, setting boundaries, and finally, getting to I Do. Are you ready to start energizing your own search for love? Love Factually is a great place to get started. Here are the big thoughts and their subtitles. An overview of the 10 steps, from I Wish to I Do. One harmful myth: love happens when you're not looking. What's on your list? Seek with clarity. Where to find your mate? Hint: look somewhere close. Setting boundaries: you're the landlord. And finally, getting to I Do, making the commitment. An overview of the 10 steps, from I Wish to I Do. Change is a process. Finding love is a process. Wouldn't it be nice if finding your mate was just like baking a cake or assembling a piece of furniture? What if you could simply follow the steps in order to meet your goal? Even though dating and finding the one might not be that simple, with the advice from Love Factually, you can approach the process with some important steps that will definitely help you on your quest. Here's a quick overview of the 10 steps that can take you from I Wish to I Do. Step 1. Abandon myths that hold you back. Step 2. Pinpoint your traits for a mate. Step 3. Love yourself into a great relationship. Step 4. Master the mating mind. Step 5. Make yourself hard to get. Step 6. Seek where you will find. Step 7. Don't suck at dating. Step 8. Flunk wrong relationships to ace the one. Step 9. Triumph at commitment 911. Step 10. Persist, be hopeful, be brave. You might get a sense from looking at this list that many of the steps, actually all of the steps, require you to take some action or to shift your mindset. Note the emphasis on you. That's because it really is up to you to make love happen in your life. Notice that sitting by the phone waiting for a call is not one of the steps on this list. Okay, then, what can you do? Let's start with banishing the myths that are holding you back from finding the one for you. One harmful myth: love happens when you're not looking. Sometimes people don't understand that science gives us probabilities, not certainties, and it's good at predicting what happens to large groups of people rather than individuals. Welch covers a whole slew of myths that hold you back in Love Factually, so you'll definitely want to look further into those. Here's a common harmful myth: love happens when you're not looking. Welch nips that myth in the bud when she says this: folks, there's a word for people over age 25 or so who wait for love to happen to them, and that word is single. She notes that we tend to pay attention to those stories we hear about someone who met their mate on a subway or some other random occurrence. And yes, we have all heard stories like that, but we need to keep in mind the laws of probability. It is possible, but unlikely, that this will also happen to you. The author's advice instead is to tell yourself, I deserve to give and receive love, and I increase my odds of finding a worthy partner by actively searching, not passively waiting. Sounds like a great quote for your life book if it resonates with you. We encourage you to examine your own harmful myths and premises that are not helping you, then banish them completely and replace them with more empowering beliefs. What's on your list? Seek with clarity. Dream in detail. Dream in color. Dream big. Another powerful step that Welch recommends is to create a list of what you are seeking in a partner. This is a fun step. It's essentially your wish list. Lifebook members should be particularly good at this step, as you'll understand how important it is to get your vision right in this area, and to create that vision of your ideal mate with clarity. The author emphasizes that there's no need to hold back. You can take this opportunity to write as long as a list as you want. What physical traits are you looking for? Would you like them to be fit and athletic? What about character traits? Do you want someone exciting and adventurous, or reliable and dependable? Easygoing or intense? Funny or serious? What about their background matters to you? Is it important that they're well-educated or come from a stable, loving family? What interests and passions must they share with you? What else is on your wish list? Now, it might seem strange or maybe even a little selfish to write this long list of what you want, but think of it this way. As with any goal or anything you want to have in your life, it helps to be crystal clear about exactly what you're looking for. Only by having a clear vision can you begin to bring that vision into reality. The same goes for relationships. So even though this exercise might feel strange, it's a great first step to bring you closer to what you want. In fact, you may already have this list incorporated into your life book as part of the love category. If so, be sure that it's current and up to date. There's a second step of the process of writing your wish list for your mate. Welch explains that once you have your wish list, reorder your list into two categories: must-haves and wants. This is a super helpful step because it forces you to really hone in on those qualities that are really non-negotiable to you. If you're a vegetarian and there's just no way you would feel comfortable dating a meat eater, that could be a must-have for you. If you love your dog, it's likely a must-have to find someone who could welcome your dog as part of the family. And if you haven't created your list, block some time on your calendar when you can sit back, perhaps put on some music, do some visualization about your ideal mate, and start writing that list. Okay, now that you have your list, how do we go about finding that ideal mate? Where to find your mate? Hint, look somewhere close. Seek, and the odds are high that ye shall find. Don't look, and you're basically making the decision to remain single. Love Factually is full of tips on where and how to find your mate, and the author backs up her suggestions with data. Let's take a quick look at the big four ways to meet your mate, and you'll enjoy exploring these further in the book. Use the friends and family plan. Leverage the law of proximity. Find your future in your past. Fish with a net, the internet. With the first two suggestions, leveraging friends and family, and leveraging the law of proximity, you're tapping into the opportunity to look within your closer circles to find your mate. Before online dating, this is basically how people came together, and now it can be overlooked. But it might be time to revisit this strategy. The next idea, find your future in your past, is the possibility of rekindling a relationship with an old flame, or perhaps forming a relationship with someone you know from your past. Do you have a high school reunion coming up? This might be a perfect opportunity to reconnect with someone who might be relevant for where you both are right now in your lives. And finally, the suggestion to fish with a net, the internet, acknowledges the importance of online dating in today's world. Welch includes this interesting fact. The Harris survey found that over a third of Americans who married between 2005 and 2012 met their partners online. That trend is expected to continue to increase, so it is quite noteworthy. So if it's helpful to you, consider one or all of the above big four ways to meet your mate as strategies that you can leverage. Now let's consider how to make sure you're allowing the right relationship into your life. setting boundaries. You're the landlord. The first time someone shows you who they are, believe them. Maya Angelou. The author makes it clear that you need to have some boundaries when it comes to your love life, and with whom you choose to enter into and stay in a relationship with. She puts it eloquently when she writes, "We are the landlords of our lives. When we love ourselves, we have standards, and we don't key in squatters who can't or won't meet them. It's not mean, it's what works." What a great analogy that is. We've probably all known someone in a relationship where we wondered why in the world he or she is putting up with the behavior of their partner. Or worse, we have let someone into our own lives that we shouldn't have. Often it's easier to spot someone else who is in this trap than it is in our own relationship. Maybe that's where the expression, love is blind, comes in. But without clear boundaries of unacceptable behavior, you may be in for a lot of pain. Earlier we talked about Welch's great suggestion to create a list of what you're looking for in a mate. She enlightens us with the four most common must-have traits, and here they are. Lovingness, loyalty, kindness, and intelligence. Those four traits might form a basis for you of some boundaries that must exist in your relationship. And if kindness or loyalty, for example, seem to be missing, it's time to revisit whether the relationship is right for you. And by the way, look for clues from your partner's past. If they've been disloyal in the past or are nasty to their ex, that could be a big warning sign that their past behavior is likely to be repeated. Another helpful boundary to consider is ensuring that you're with someone who wants the same kind of relationship as you want. If you're just dating for fun, but your partner is in a hurry to walk down the aisle, there's obviously going to be some conflict there if you don't set the boundary up front of finding someone with similar relationship goals. So remember to be a good landlord when it comes to your relationships. In the same way that it's hard to get rid of a bad tenant once you've given them the key, it's similarly challenging when you've given the key to your heart to someone who shouldn't have it. Getting to I do, making the commitment. Obstacles will arise. Disappointment will happen. Life will get in the way. The key is persistence. Since love factually is grounded in helping you get to I do, let's consider some key points about how to help facilitate that level of commitment. Welch covers several interesting areas within this section of the book. One area is how the behavior of men and women normally is different when it comes to commitment. A big reason for this is simple biology. Women have a much narrower window than men to procreate, hence some increased pressure for a commitment sooner rather than later. Another factor that can get in the way of I do is that there's been a shift towards cohabitation, or living together before or instead of getting married. This trend has also shifted the dynamics in relationships and often creates less urgency to get married. So if you do want to get married, what are some tips to move the relationship along that path? 1. Consider the dynamics of cohabitation. Welch shares the finding that women are more often considering living together as a path towards marriage, where men are considering it to be simple cohabitation. So be careful when considering cohabitation that you and your partner are aligned on your goals. 2. Move away from the relationship to move towards commitment. While this suggestion may sound counterintuitive, it accomplishes several goals. First, it creates a barrier that gets rid of players. In other words, if you move away from the relationship in some way, such as being less available, moving out, or even dating others, it lights a fire under the partner to either step up or to move on. Welch offers a number of other considerations that you'll want to learn more about if you truly want to get to a committed place in your relationship. She also reminds you to stay hopeful and persistent. There's someone out there who is also looking for you right now, so don't give up. There's so much more great content in Love Factually, and we think you'll find it to be a great resource for those of you who are single. If you have some limiting beliefs that are preventing you from realizing this goal in your life, or you want some ideas on how to clarify your vision in this important area, you'll find some great food for thought for your life book as you explore this book. To learn more about Welch and her book, visit www.lovesciencemedia.com. We hope you found this life note interesting and insightful. Thank you so much for listening in. We look forward to sharing more wisdom with you again soon. Until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.